Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That is RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. You can go there and you can click on the donate button. That is a great way to support our show. This is Monday. Monday is our Mark Collett day. I think he's going to be joining us shortly. You know, over the weekend, I sent him a confusing message. I hoping that he didn't misunderstand it, but I'm expecting him to join us any minute. The thing is, he has really, you know, every week, every Friday, he puts up a YouTube video, and the YouTube video this week is just an excellent case study. It's about this Dr. Carol Christine Fair, the professor from Georgetown University, who, you know, last time we saw Dr. Fair, she was screaming at Richard Spencer and getting him, she didn't get him kicked out of his gym that day. Actually, she was the one that I think might have been escorted out of the building for causing such a ruckus, but he wound up losing his membership at the gym. She thought it was just a horrible imposition to put on people to have a neon Nazi white supremacist in their midst, and so she had to scream and shout. And of course, recently, she's come back to public attention for. She's had bad behavior before and since, but most recently, for having a tweet saying that that white men, this was regarding the Kavanaugh hearing, white men should, I guess the white men who supported Kavanaugh should be killed and die a miserable death while feminists laugh as they watch them draw their final breaths. And once they're dead, for good measure, let's castrate them and feed their I don't know what parts they were supposed to be feeding the pigs. Mark, were you ever clear on that? What part of what part of the
corpse? I think it was the whole. I think it was the whole corpse. I think it was the whole thing. Somebody actually said that to me on my video about this. They said, you know, they suggested it was actually a call to feed just the genitals to pigs, but the way I read it was that the whole desecrated corpse would have been fed to the pig as afterwards, which is obviously very telling because it's a non-kosher animal.
It's a non-kosher animal, and you know, and so is the pig. You know, being the a national spokesman for the Koshertified app, I've become humans are we are non-kosher as food. Okay, we are not kosher food animals. So cannibalism is not kosher. I guess if pigs eat humans, the pigs aren't kosher, the humans aren't kosher, but the pigs don't have to keep kosher. But yeah, it's very telling. I mean, and the, Professor Fair has been falsely misidentified as not being Jewish. She is Jewish. We've confirmed that, right?
Yes. Well, this is very this is very interesting, you see, because Dr. Carol Christine Fair is actually the same professor that confronted our good friend Richard Spencer in the gym. He was there. He was working out in the gym, minding his own business. And she came up to him and she started having a go at him. She started tearing into him. She started abusing him. And she essentially, I believe she got him thrown out of his gym. He wasn't allowed to train there anymore. And at this time, Jewish publications and one particular publication called Kavella actually held her up as a hero, held her up as some kind of, you know, champion of social justice for this. And I'm just trying to dig out the actual quote, what they said, because I believe I actually sent it to you at some point. Let me just see if I can find it. Yes, here it is. I am just bringing it up as we speak. It was filed under anti-Semitism by a publication called Kavella, and it said, in praise of the Jewish woman who called out a neo-Nazi at the gym. So that's very telling in itself. Now, when you go to the About page on the Kavella website, it says, whether you grew up observing Shabbat every Friday night or had your first taste of matzah ball soup when you married into a Jewish family, there's no one way to parent Jewish kids. Kavella is here to give you ideas you can run with. Ideas for first-time parents, interfaith parents, queer parents, adoptive parents, and everything in between, with the hopes that you can find information and inspiration that is right for your family.
Men, so women, and everything in between.
Everything in between.
Mommy, Dad, everything in between.
This is run, obviously, by a Jewish woman, and she's written for the New York Times, the New York Daily News, the Financial Times, and the Forward. And, you know, it goes on quite a bit about her. There's another editor. She was a contributor to the New York Times, New York Good Housekeeping and Tablet. You know, all of these people are quite well-known Jewish journalists. They write for this Jewish publication, and they were praising her. And more so than simply praising her, she was actually on her own Twitter. She put three parentheses around her own name, again, mm-hmm. intimating that she's Jewish, admitting that she's Jewish. But very tellingly, and I read a number of her tweets, and the way she talks about white women is very, very telling. She always refers to them as a different and distinct racial group. She constantly talks about white men and white women. She doesn't say we as white women have a lot to answer for, or, you know, fellow white women. She doesn't say anything like that. She always refers to them as you would refer to another racial group. And that for me is very telling. For example, if I was talking about white people, I would say, you know, our people, those of European descent, need to stand up. I wouldn't say things in such a detached manner. I wouldn't talk about my own people in such a detached way, but she constantly speaks in this critically and detached way about white people. However, some publications in the wake of this scandal have tried to sort of almost hide her Jewishness and have tried to say, oh, no, they're erroneously saying she's Jewish. She isn't Jewish. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, yes, she's 100% Jewish when she's having Richard Spencer thrown out of the gym. But then as soon as she says something that's so abhorrent and gut-churningly awful that it even calls for mainstream journalists like Tucker Carlson to start saying, you know, this woman's calling for white genocide, at that point you can't then say, well, actually, you know, we're rewriting this. She's definitely not Jewish, you know. She is Jewish. She's admitted to being Jewish. She stated she's Jewish. And now they're trying to sort of rewrite that because she's in quite a bit of a hot water, not hot water financially, not hot water with her career, not in hot water with the media, but hot water in the sense that she's drawing a huge amount of attention to the idea of white genocide, to the hypocrisy that is being hypocrisy by, you know, social networks like Twitter. Also hypocrisy from these educational institutions, because when our good friend Tiana Dalikoff was exposed, and I say that in inverted commas, as being on a right-wing podcast, she pretty quickly was suspended without pay from a school in Florida, forced to resign, and essentially her life was basically ruined. Her life and her career was ruined. She had to move state. She has to leave Florida and start her life again elsewhere. And she certainly didn't call for the genocide of anyone. She didn't call for anyone to be castrated or physically harmed. She simply espoused patriotic or nationalistic beliefs, and her life was ruined for that. Whereas this woman is calling for violence. She's calling for the most grotesque form of violence imaginable. She's calling for people to be fed to pigs, to be castrated, and she is calling for a distinct ethnic group to face that rather gruesome punishment for simply holding different political views to those of her own political views.
Right.
And when you look at something like this, this is definitely something that would fall under the UN Declaration on Genocide. It is something that would, if any white person said it, they would be absolutely ruined. And this is the other reason why you can tell she isn't white, because she's getting away with something like this.
Yeah, this is why I want everybody to watch your video, because you know, if I was to do, I was really, really impressed with it, because not just that it exposes this hypocrisy, but it ties it in to these really important principles. It's so illustrative of these very important principles of Jewish power. The one where they have the dual identity: they're white when it suits them, and then they're victimized minorities when it suits them. That's my bat theory of Jewish identity, because you know the bats go up to the birds and they say, "Hey, we got wings, we're like you," and then they go up to the mice and say, "Hey, we've got fur, we're like you." And this right, the bats are considered very two-faced in Asian societies. So it's very illustrative of that. It's illustrative of you know, people. I'm not sure if it was really Voltaire who said it or someone else, but you know, to know who rules over you, just see who you're not allowed to criticize. And you can't criticize her as being a Jew. And then you took it one step farther, and I haven't heard anybody make this point, but you took it one step farther by saying, if you want to, what was it? A corollary to that, look who is allowed to criticize anybody, right? Who can get away with criticizing anybody? So we can't get away with criticizing Jews because they rule us, and Jews can get away with criticizing anybody. It's kind of the corollary to that. So if I was ever to put together some sort of edited, you know, like a compilation of really important case studies or really important articles, this would be one of them, because this is such an excellent case study. I put my case study on Elena Kagan in there too, along with it. But you know, the chapter on the 1965 Immigration Act from Professor McDonald's book, the chapter on race realism from My Awakening. There's some other things I'd want to put in there. Ron Unz's study of Harvard. You know, you could take. And I'm putting it up there with these other real what I consider classics of case studies, or you know, if people could just look at a half dozen of these examples, that there's no way anybody could close their eyes and say no, this isn't happening. Everybody would have to admit that yes, we've got you know, we basically live in a Jewish dictatorship. And the Jewish elite is actively organizing and campaigning against the interests, very much to the detriment of the white majorities of the populations. So I was really, really impressed. I want everybody to watch that. How do they find it? How do they find your latest video?
Just go to my YouTube channel. It's the latest video. It's been watched quite a few times already. I think it's been watched 26,000 times already. And on top of that, it's got a like to dislike ratio of 2,900 likes to 22 dislikes.
2,900 to 22?
So yes. That's 99% plus thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah. It's about 99.95%.
Yeah, this is just really, really good. And the thing about it, unlike Dr. McDonald's chapter, you can get this to somebody and they can watch it in all of 12 minutes and 30 seconds?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it is just so revealing. It's excellent work.
Well, I'm really pleased you enjoyed it, and I think that, you know, hopefully it'll red pill a few people, because I hope so.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I really hoped that people would see it and, you know, feel really that it was something that effectively sort of showed the hypocrisy that we're dealing with on a daily basis. Because I kind of feel that the most powerful thing we have in our sort of arsenal against people who are trying to bring about white genocide is really showing this kind of crazy hypocrisy.
What I was saying a couple of years ago when Donald Trump was running, even before he was elected, is that they were already in 2015, they were running their victory lap. They thought, okay, probably we'll get Hillary in there. If not Hillary, it'll be, Jeb Bush, or maybe some dark horse like Marco Rubio. But everything's going to be just fine. We're going to put the last nails in the coffin. We'll turn America into a kind of multicultural Brazil, but heavily armed, that will be completely under the control of this Jewish elite. And, then we can start doing mop-up operations in the rest of the world, get the Far East, China under us, and India will be easy after that. And then, the rest of the world is easy. They were doing their victory lap. I'm convinced of that. And their arrogance got in their way. And of course, Donald Trump, they weren't expecting Donald Trump, but it's not just Donald Trump, because you had, Brexit, you had these movements in Europe. They just got ahead of themselves. They got too arrogant, too fast. And that's what's woken up people. And it may well be the case that had they gone a little bit more of a go slow approach, like I have a listener, Jeremy from Kentucky, and he always talks about Steven Steinlight, who has warned, he's warned his fellow Jews, he's a very proud Jew, and Dr. Duke quotes him often, but he had been warning his fellow Jews for probably a couple decades not to push so fast. And if they had heeded his advice, they probably would have gotten away with everything. It would have taken a little extra time, but they would have had it. But they pushed so fast and pushed so hard. And now there's, the goyim have woken up. How do you feel, like, looking back over the past 3 years, which includes the Brexit campaign, do you feel a real difference? For instance, in your own sense of optimism, do you feel a real difference between now and 3 or 4 years ago?
No.
No? Were you optimistic always, or are you still pessimistic?
I'm just the same. I think what will happen. That doesn't mean we don't have to try, but I believe that history, and specifically the history of the European peoples, has been quite interesting, but it's been a series of ups and downs. You know, whether you look at Alexandria, ancient Rome, Greece, Egypt, all of these great, and obviously people say, Egypt's in North Africa. No, yes, they were Mediterranean people. The people who built what we know as Egypt were people with light skin. They were Caucasians. And all of these places rose to great heights, and they fell again.
Going right up on our break now.
Okay.
We'll hear about that. I'm not hearing the music, but it's coming.
It must be coming.
The one time we're ready for the break, and there's going to be no break.
As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett. And Mark, you were talking about your sense of European history going all the way back to those Mediterraneans in Europe. I mean, in Egypt.
Yeah. Basically, what I'm sort of saying is that things have risen and fallen many times. And I think we are obviously about time for another little fall, really, you know, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. You know, we've got to the point where, you know, the degeneracy and all the horrors of Western civilization have sort of built up and built up and built up. And we're now at a point where, unfortunately, it looks like that's going to be the case, as if that's the inevitability. But that doesn't mean we can't rise again. And we are fighting to stop a collapse. But I think there will be something has to go. And in some ways, that might not be a terrible thing. Because often, if there is some kind of collapse, that can serve as a warning to others. And if we do see nations like France or Germany become overwhelmed, or even the UK, that would be a very important and stark message to people in Eastern Europe, to people in other countries. And we are seeing some genuine fight backs in places like Italy. We are seeing, you know, we've even seen fight back in Brazil, of all places, a right-wing sort of government coming to power in Brazil. So if it can happen in Brazil, it can certainly happen anywhere. It can happen absolutely anywhere. And I believe that there is almost like this cycle that keeps happening, and we are in the middle of the decline phase of that cycle. And we're obviously trying to stop this hitting as hard and as powerfully as, you know, it could do. But I think, you know, I've always had faith that we will come through this boom and bust, that we will reemerge, and that our people will continue on. And I think Brexit was important, not because I think there'll be anything meaningful come from Brexit. And people might be scratching their heads thinking, well, why do you put all that effort into it? Why?
Hello? Okay, one or the other of us are having trouble with our...
Can you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
I was always very sure that the British people would vote for Brexit. I was always completely sure that the British people would make the right choice. But I always knew the politicians would betray them, and that's what's happening now. You know, we're talking about a no-deal Brexit. Theresa May has conveniently failed to reach any agreements with Brussels. Everything's going very, very wrong in the Brexit camp. But that's what was always going to happen. I always said we would win Brexit, but then they'd either do something to steal it from us or force a second vote. You know, just to make people assure, let's force a second vote. And that's exactly what they're doing now. But it wasn't important in the sense that we would actually get out of Europe. What was more important was a huge show of defiance. What was important was showing that there was, or gauging, if there was still fight in the British people, if there was still fight amongst those of European descent living in the British Isles. And there was. And the amazing thing was that Britain is one of the most cosmopolitan, mixed-race countries in the whole of Europe. You know, it is one of those Western European nations that has suffered most greatly at the hands of the multiculturalists. Yet even with all of that push for multiculturalism, even with all of that push for integration and liberalism and all of the brainwashing and all of the horrible tricks they pulled beforehand, even with all of that, people voted Brexit. And from this, as I said, I never expected Brexit to be delivered as the people wanted it. But the fact that there was that show of defiance, the fact that every establishment party, every establishment media hack, every, you know, well, not every, but a large number of the mainstream media outlets were absolutely positively pro-Remain, including the state broadcaster, and that's very important. The state broadcaster was absolutely pro-Remain. The government illegally spent tens of millions on a campaign telling people to remain. And when I say the government, I mean the government misappropriated public funds to send everyone a leaflet telling people why the EU was a good thing, which is insane because no public money should have been spent on the campaign. Money to be spent on the campaign should have been privately funded for one or the other, but it wasn't. It was misappropriated from the public purse. But despite all that, the British public saw through it and they voted against further integration to the European Union. They voted against us ever going into the Euro. They voted against open borders. They voted against the EU. They voted to come out of the EU. And that, for me, was just a huge victory.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett. And, well, we started off talking about this excellent video from Mark, and then we've been talking about what's kind of the cyclical ups and downs of Western man. And there have been ups and downs. And I was making the comment that it seemed like, well, it really seemed like it was the end game. It seemed like, at least that's what some of our Jewish adversaries seemed to think, that it was the end game. I made the point that they were running a victory lap, that they were engaging in hubris, and now all of a sudden, they're on their heels and they're scrambling. And you see this in country after country. Of course, what else you're seeing, though, is like in the United States, well, you had the Donald Trump victory. But the Donald Trump, yeah, Trump victory, that's really kind of the beginning of the struggle and not the end of it.
No, it is. It is. But both of those things are, the victories aren't as important as what was behind the victories. The victories themselves are, of course, important, but neither have been implemented exactly the way we wanted them. But the important thing is, both showed that white people can come together as a group, think about identity politics, think about acting as a group, and when they do act as a group, they can still bring about massive change. And that's the important thing. The important thing is we can and we do still have the ability to act. We have, and that's the big mistake our enemies have made. Enemies were running a victory lap because they thought they'd beaten the fight out of us. They thought they'd beaten the identity politics, the patriotism, the racial pride out of white people, but they haven't. It was just a bit of, it was just asleep. People were just a bit scared to say what they were thinking, but it was always there. And people have woken up for a variety of reasons. And really, Dr. Carol Christine Fair, if you're listening, thank you. I'm happy that you let your innermost vile anti-white thoughts out. And I'm also happy to Twitter that you protected her, because Twitter and Dr. Carol Christine Fair and Georgetown University and, you know, the Washington Post and the New York Times, your treatment of this, and in fact, this whole thing in itself, if you take this whole issue, not just her tweeting, not just Twitter protecting her, not just the university protecting her, not just the mass media forgetting. And I just want to throw this in there, just tangentially. In my video, I posted, there was a very important picture in the video. I don't know if you watched it, Patrick, or if you just listened to it.
Well, I watched it, although my eyes might have been distracted.
Yeah. You might not have watched everything. There was a very important slide in that video. And that slide was a Google search for Dr. Christine Fair that I had done that morning when I put it together. And Google have already buried the news results. So when you Google Christine Fair, her Twitter comes up, her personal website comes up, Georgetown University comes up, and an article comes up next from Christmas 2016 about her. But all of these things about the horrible things she said, they've all disappeared. Google have buried them, so you actually have to go into the news pages or scroll right down to find them. So you can actually see that Google, the world's biggest tech company, are actively covering up what she's done. They are actively trying to keep the lid on this, as are the newspapers and the press. And this goes to show that all of these groups, this whole issue, not just her, not just the university, not just the media, not just Google, it shows that all of them are complicit. And this whole case has red-pilled tens of thousands of people. Probably more, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions have seen this and said, yeah, you know what? There is something going on here. There is a vicious anti-white agenda. And for that, I'm thankful, because you used a very important word earlier. You used the word hubris. And these people were running a victory lap. They were crowing that they'd won, but they crowed a little bit too loudly. They celebrated a little bit too raucously, and it woke people up. People didn't like it, and they're a long way off winning, because if in Britain you can get 50-something% of the population to vote Brexit, if in America you can elect Donald Trump, and these are two of the most beaten down, media controlled nations in the whole Western world, if those nations can rebel, then there's hope for the West, and there is hope for our people. We might be in the cycle of collapse, but our people have showed us that we can rise again, that there is the fight within our souls, a fight within our hearts still, for our people to say, you know, we may be on our knees, but it's time that we rose up. We can rise again. And that's the important thing. You know, we'll always get knocked down from time to time. Even the best fighters get knocked down. But the important thing is that they find their way to their feet again, that they find their way back to their feet and they keep on fighting. And if we as a race can do that, that's all that matters. And I think those two events taught us all that we were a long way off from being beaten.
Yeah, a long way off from being beaten. But the events since then have shown us that
we're also a long way off from getting to where we need to be. And it's a tough road to hoe, but we should have more confidence now. And I think of the United States, we've got in 3 weeks these midterm elections. And a lot of people have been in despair about them, but it seems that we'll emerge from the elections. And what will be significant is that the Republican Party, even if it doesn't remain in majority, but it probably will, I think, at this point, but it's going to be a Republican Party that will, where so many of the people in Congress will owe their seats to Donald Trump. It will become Donald Trump's party the way it hasn't been before. And of course, he's also transforming the judiciary. So he's making progress a lot slower than a lot of us had hoped for or expected. And then you look on the other side of the ocean, and you have, in many countries, you have leaders who are outspokenly anti-immigration, Viktor Orban or Salvini in Italy, who's not the prime minister, but he's deputy prime minister and seems to be in charge of immigration. And there is a lot of pushback from the EU and from multinationals and from the countries like France and England and the UK that are still under their, Zio multicultural leadership. But you're seeing, it seems to me that you're seeing progress. The idea that one of these core EU countries, one of these big ones like Italy, would come under the rule of such a stridently anti-immigration leader as Salvini. That, again, something 3 years ago that would have been very, very difficult to predict or foresee.
Yeah, well, I think Italy has been one of the biggest shocks, because Italy was seen as pretty much a metropolitan, sort of multicultural nation in the same vein as sort of France or Germany or Spain. They've risen up. They've had enough. You've seen the same in Hungary. You've seen the same with the rise of Golden Dawn in Greece. And I think the UK is a little bit of an exception, because our sort of national party, a genuine nationalist party, was destroyed, the British National Party. But in France, you've seen the rise of the FN. In Germany, you've seen the rise of the AfD. And all of these nations, you are seeing the rise of patriotic parties and movements, which are showing a major, major pushback against the establishment. And I think another thing that we've seen is people are less scared to talk. People aren't afraid of voicing their opinion like they used to be. At one point, we were living in nations where people kept their heads down, and people didn't really talk about things. They especially didn't talk about the roles that Jews play in all of this. They were very quiet about this. But more and more, I am seeing a willingness not only to talk about the problems the West faces, but also people are willingly talking about the disproportionate role that Jews play in causing those problems. And I think that is very, very interesting. We are seeing this huge paradigm shift across the entire political spectrum. And largely speaking, this is, as you've said, because people have pushed it too far. They keep poking and poking and pushing and pushing. They said they were going to take an inch, but they've taken a mile. And it's annoyed people. And let's face it, you don't want to annoy the European people, because we're pretty used to fighting. In fact, since the beginning of recorded history, we've been fighting. People of other races, we've been fighting ourselves. We do that. And when pushed, when backed into the corner, that's when we're most dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Brazil and they've got this presidential election coming up. Well, I mean, they had the first round of it already. And what's his name? Candidate who came in first. I want to say Bolsonaro, but it's something like that. So you'll forgive me for not having his name prepared. But he's very, what would be called right wing. There's not there's not huge numbers of immigrants coming into Brazil. I guess you have, you know, Venezuela borders on Brazil, and there's probably some of them pouring across. But their demographic situation is a result of immigration trends and slavery, you know, going back centuries. But their demographic situation is, it's just, I think, just under 50% white. And then a very large, maybe 40% or so, or 35-40%, which would be, you know, mixture, probably mostly mixed white and African. And then you got an African minority, and you have Asians. But what's interesting there is, so it's not, it's, this is not a phenomenon of white people standing up to defend their country against immigrants. This is a phenomenon of white people in Brazil saying, why are you blaming us for everything, right? They're standing up for their own history. They're standing up and saying, you know, it's everything's not our fault. Your situation's not our fault, you know. And of course, they're living in one of the most crime-ridden countries in the world. And it's, where is the crime coming from? It's a different kind of pushback, but it's an important pushback. One that's probably, you know, in the United States, we've got a lot of both. We've got the new immigration going on, but we've also got this legacy, and they're both used against us. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that, you know, the phenomenon that's going on in Brazil and how that would tie into what's going on in Europe, where you know, whites are defending themselves and standing up for themselves.
Well, what I thought about Brazil is essentially you've got a nation which is one of the most multicultural on the planet. Brazil is one of those places that if you asked any sort of white racial nationalist what the situation was in Brazil, they would say Brazil is lost, that nothing could have been done with Brazil. And the fact something has been done with Brazil says that there is hope anywhere. That was my takeaway from it. That if something can happen in Brazil, if something positive can come about politically in Brazil, and there can be some salvation for the whites in Brazil who are, you know, like you say, living in this multicultural hellhole that is literally a world center for crime, for, you know, slums, for, you know, muggings. I mean, I know what they do to people over there. You know, if you're rich and you get captured by someone over there, they chop your ear off and send it to your relatives and demand ransom money. You know, it's a brutal place. And if that can be turned around, if there's hope for Brazil, there is hope for the whole of the Western world. And I think that's important because sometimes in our movement, there is a sense of despair. There is a sense that, you know, because we're on this decline, that there can't be any comeback, that there can't be any miraculous turnaround, that because we're on the decline will be completed and we've already lost. But that just isn't the case. And that's why I'm always happy. That's why I'm always sort of got a good demeanor about me, because I have 100% faith that we will create this turnaround, that there will be a comeback for our people. And white people have been in a much worse situation before. Just look at the Islamic occupation of Spain in the Middle Ages, when Spain was known as Al-Andalus and it was occupied militarily by Muslims. What must people have thought then, when their daughters were literally being taken and sold into sex slavery, where the blonde-haired, blue-eyed teenage girls raised the most money? What must that have been like? But there was the Reconquista. We reconquered Spain, we drove the Muslims out, and we took back our lands. Mm-hmm. If that could be done then, why can't it be done again? Of course it can.
Yeah.
Now, you can always turn things around. And if any people on the planet can turn things around, it's the people that invented the steam engine, the aeroplane. It's people who put men on the moon. It's the people that have shown the world what civilization truly is. It's us. We're the guys that can do it.
Now, in the past, I've asked you about practical things that can be done. regarding, for instance, the demographic situation in Britain. And you made the case that, well, we've got to stop making it attractive for migrants to come. Now, a friend of mine showed me his absentee ballot for California. And in California, and we're going to be going to the break soon, but I'll want you to address this when we come back. In California, there are a lot of ballot initiatives, and some of the ballot initiatives were, you know, should the state allocate money for low-income housing, state allocate money for a dialysis for poor people, for children, for the children. We have to do this for the schools. And this, it's hard to vote no on these things, but let's talk about this after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
National Bugle Radio. So just before going to the break, I was discussing this California ballot with its ballot initiatives, you know, money for schools, for low-income housing, for, you know, to limit dialysis patients' costs. And there's a lot of native Californians, white people who have lived there, who need these things. But when you look at it macroscopically, you see a massive transfer of funds from from, you know, white native taxpayers to recent immigrants and illegal immigrants. It's massive, on a massive scale, and this would add to it. And so is this the type of thing that people, you know, need to put their altruism behind them and say, this is only going to attract more and more migrants, and we've got to stop it? Is that what you would say?
Of course. You see, all of these great social sort of campaigns only work when you live in a homogenous, high trust, high IQ society. When people actually pull together and they offer people who have genuinely fallen on hard times some form of safety net, that works. But when the safety net, instead of being a safety net, becomes a hammock that people can just lie in and enjoy a life on benefits, or worse still, is used as some kind of incentive to bring migrants into a country, that is when those sort of socialist policies completely fail. You have to think about it as you would think about a family. For example, if you're living with your family and a member of your family gets fired from the job, you all pull together to make sure they have food, they have water, they are happy, and you help them until they get back on their feet. And because they trust you and love you, they don't rip you off. They accept charity while they need it, but they don't draw things out. Because you love and respect them, you give them that charity freely in a good-hearted manner. But if you imagine extending that charity to someone who isn't a member of your family, to someone that you don't even know, to someone who, well, they could be anyone, someone who literally just wants to come and live a free and better life because they've heard there's an easy ride going, is that going to work? Well, of course it's not going to work. All you're going to end up doing is throwing good money after bad, being taken for a ride, allowing people to come and live off you who don't deserve that because they're not part of your family. And all of a sudden the system falls to pieces. And that is why these social reforms never work, because they're not social reforms for a tight-knit, conscientious community. They're social reforms brought in by liberals with the intention of attracting the wrong and worst kind of people to our nations in order to wreck our nations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets difficult. Now, of course, I was in Britain in the mid-1980s, and even before immigration, there were people who were going on the dole who didn't need to. So yeah, it can go beyond that as well. But Mark, there's only a minute left. I want to remind people, take a look at that video. What is the name of the video?
It is Georgetown Professor Calls for White Genocide.
Take a look at it and spread it around. Use your social networking skills and make this thing go viral. It's reached 25,000 already. Let's get it to 250,000 people by next week. How's that?
That would be fantastic. And thank you for having me on. I'll see you on Wednesday, Patrick.
See you on Wednesday on your podcast. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.